What is your name again?
Ken.
Ken, okay, Ken, good, thank you. I just want to have a brief report on the visit that Dr. Jung made to us this past week. He came from Korea to Baltimore and up here to see us first, which was a very good visit. And he went to the court himself and sued the man who said that he said the Bible they use is Satan's Bible. He never said that at all. He doesn't use it, but he never said that. So he took that man to court. It's still pending. And then the Presbyterians got into the act, as we said before, and they're working on that little by little. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they can do anything because he's got a special church. It's he owns this one building, and 550 attend. 150 children, and the rest are adults, and so it's growing. And they're going to build a bigger building. He hopes to have 1,000 seats altogether. So
I thought it was 2,000.
No. Well, I think it's, well, maybe it's 2,000. I thought it was 1,000.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Maybe it's 2,000. So continue to pray for him and the ministry that he has there. Yes?
Do you know what sect of Presbyterian church that is coming against
this? I don't know, but he said there are about 3 or 4 million Presbyterians in South Korea. They're just taking over the whole country. Different kinds, but all of them, he said, use the Presbyterian Bible, which is like the revised version, the wrong Greek text and the wrong Hebrew text and so on. So it's a very bad version.
Do you know what version Bible they're using?
Well, that's the revised version. It's the version of 1881, West Van Horst version.
It's a Korean.
It's a Korean,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's the one they use. It's a bad Bible, indeed, just like all the West Van Horst Bibles are today. Mm-hmm. All right, those that are calling, let's give us a call at 856-261-9018 or also questions at vftbc.org. And we're in Romans chapter 11, and we're going to begin at verse number 8. Verse number 8. Today, let's read verse 8, 9, and 10 together. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they could not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. All right, verse 8. What do we know about the words in the King James Bible? It is written. What do you know about them?
Perfect tense.
Perfect tense. And what do you know of the perfect Greek tense? What does that always mean in Greek?
Completed in the past, continues into the present, now into the future.
So trickle into the past, continues into the present, now into the future. That's what the perfect tense is. And it's a very important detail because if it had not been preserved, he's quoting from the Hebrew, the Old Testament, if that had not been preserved, he couldn't quote it here, could he? And certainly not over there, but we couldn't see it if it had not been preserved for us under this name. So we believe the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words preserved to this very day. And so it's written, and what does it say about in that verse 8? What does it say about that?
God gave him the spirit of slumber.
All right. That's right. God gave. Who's the name referred to there?
Israel,
the Jews. That's right. Israel, the Jews. Spirit of slumber that they should not see. What about their ears?
That they
should not hear. So the eyes and ears were not functioning properly, were they? That's what they were because. And so they couldn't see well, couldn't hear well spiritually. In other words, they may be able to see physically, but not spiritually. They're no hearing, no seeing the will of God, and not doing it, of course, either. Then in verse 9, what does David say here? David, the Old Testament writer.
Their table
will
be a snare.
What is a snare?
It's a trap.
Trap, okay, it's a trap.
Noose.
A noose, yes, Tammy.
Well, is it a different kind of trap? Because the next word is in a trap.
No, that's
so it. There must be some distinction between a snare and a trap.
Yes, there probably is. Yeah, Barbara?
The snare is a trap, a noose. A snare in which birds are entangled and caught, it implies unexpectedly, suddenly, because birds and beasts are caught unaware. Whatever brings peril, loss, destruction.
Mm-hmm.
That's according to D.A. Waite in his commentary on Romans.
Oh, really?
Yes.
My, oh, my. I don't know who that's the alright, but of course a snare, when people come near a snare, do they see it necessarily?
No.
No, they don't. You see, what a mousetrap, that's a type of a snare. Mm-hmm. Do the mice understand that that's going to trap them if they touch on it?
No, they don't. It's just for the cheese.
It's just they go for the cheese, they just put their foot on it, that's like it. So let there be a snare, that's one thing about it. What's the second thing?
The trap.
A trap. Now, what would a trap be? Yes. Barbara?
A hunting of wild beasts to destroy them.
All right.
Or preparing for destruction for men.
For destruction for men. Certainly, traps are very serious, are they not? And what's the stumbling block mean? The third item.
Something that makes you fall.
Was it? Was it 10?
Something that makes you fall.
So it makes
the
you
same
fall.
Thing,
Mom. Yes, Mom. We spoke in unison. Yeah. Yes, okay. Something
Barbara? It's the movable sticker tricker of a trap that it impedes the way, causing one to stumble or fall, any person or thing by which one is entrapped, drawn into error or sin.
Look good. Drawn into error or sin. Yes.
If you think of a bird trap with a box, mm-hmm. and they used to prop them open with a stick, mm-hmm. and there was a string tied to the stick, and then when the bird or little animal went in to get the food, they would pull it, and the mm-hmm. box would fall down.
That's interesting. Interesting. So, very serious. Then what's this next word mean? What does recompense mean?
Repayment.
Repayment, that's good. Repayment. They're in serious trouble. What type of a prayer is this called? What big word is used?
Imprecatory.
That's right, imprecatory. Just like there's some imprecatory psalms where, say, maybe evil people get something wrong with them. And we shouldn't pray imprecatory views today, but they did in the Old Testament very clear. But there would be trapped. I mean, is this a good wish about the Israelites or a bad wish?
No, it's so good.
Yes, that's right.
I remember hearing Bob Jones Jr. Somehow I heard him, and he prayed an imprecatory prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was about, but things were going on in this country.
Yeah. I think maybe that was when somebody was trying to come to the United States. I don't know if it was Ian Paisley or somebody, mm-hmm. and it was one of the government people where they weren't giving him the papers that he needed.
Oh.
Pastor Dan knows all about it.
Oh, yeah.
He was six. And that.
Haig.
What is it?
Alexander Haig.
Alexander
Tate?
Haig.
Oh, Haig.
Haig, yeah. So that's imprecatory prayers, and this is certainly was that the table be a trap, and the stumbling block, a snare, and recompense, or pay them back. Then in verse 10, what about their eyes here?
Darkened.
Not see. What about their posture? What do you pray about the posture? Yes.
It's bowed down.
All right.
And it's the bowing of the back by captives compelled to pass under a yoke.
That's interesting. Bowing down, passing under a yoke. So draw down their back and be really crippled. This chapter 11 is Israel's future and the national Israel's been by. Yes, Tammy?
It seems like this is from Psalm 69, verse 23, says, let their eyes be darkened, but they see not, and make their loins continually to shake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the table, verse 22, let their table become a snare mm-hmm. before them, and that which have been to them for their welfare, let it become a trap.
Yes. So it's Old Testament, again, quote, yes, ma'am.
I think how do you say that word?
Imprecatory.
I think it's all right to pray imprecatory prayers now.
Well, it's some,
I've heard people.
It's pray. Somewhat different. In other words, what does it say if an enemy hates you or something? Pray for them. I mean, this is another way. Mm-hmm. The New Testament. Love thine enemies. See, that's not imprecatory. You could hate them, but
it just seems like
There may be a reason for doing it, yes.
Been in churches where they've had things where they would say, oh, we're praying that person out, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Like there's somebody on staff or somebody that's just not quite lined up with the word and interacting not properly. So I heard them say, oh, we're praying that man out.
That's not as bad as real killing or something.
In other words, there's an issue, and sometimes there's nothing else left to do.
Oh, yeah.
You try to reason, but
right.
if there's nothing else left to do, we're going to give this to God. We're going to pray to God that He takes care of it.
That's right. Get him out of the church.
Using the terminology, we're praying that man out.
Right.
The man did leave.
Yeah,
the prayer was answered.
That's a slight imprecatory prayer, very slight.
Is that kosher to pray that way?
I don't see anything wrong with that. If he's doing something wrong, if he's maybe unsaved or not walking with the Lord, and he's doing other things.
Or out of order.
Yeah. Actually, if the pastor feels that he's really out of order somewhere, he can just say, you're out of order.
But church discipline.
Church discipline, yes.
Right.
Which is what it is, we ought to have church discipline. We ought to have wrong people in the church. All right, so that's number 10, right? Eyes darkened, not see, bowed up. Let's read 11, 12, and 13 together.
I say then, if they stumble, that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles,
for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. My verse number 11, is it 11?
Yes.
Yeah, 11. So he's talking about the they. Who's the they here in this verse?
The Jews.
The Jews, that's right, the Jews stumbled. But they should fall. What's the difference between stumbling and falling?
Well,
at 10? I was going to say cast, but she's not.
You can stumble and not fall.
That's right.
But, you know, a lot of times you stumble and fall.
And fall.
That's when you hit the ground.
When you stumble, your legs, your feet do a jig, you know, to make yourself stand up.
Right.
And like she said, sometimes you practically get yourself unstumbled, and then you fall down.
That's right. It's a different thing. It's very serious.
I've fallen down a lot. That's why I start Word of King.
Yes. Mm. All right, so the stumblers would fall. What's this word God forbid me?
May it never be.
Meganoita is the Greek word, but it was a good term in 1611. The Englishman slammed it actually. It said, may God forbid, may God not allow it, may it never be. A lot of people in these new versions, though they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of changes from the Hebrew and Greek that are certainly not even there, they complain about 4, 5, or 6 God forbids. And also in the Old Testament, they complain about, what's it in the Old Testament? I'm trying to think what it is.
Oh, what are you saying?
May the king.
God save the king.
God save the king, that's right. They complain about that, the letter of Hebrew is, may the king live long. See, in other words, it's very good. Preserve the king, that's what I mean. So it's very good. Maybe 5 or 6 there, 5 or 6 here, and God forbid. And yet they roar about that, not thinking about what their verses add hundreds and hundreds of things that are not even in Hebrew or Greek at all. Yeah, Bill.
Also in the book of Genesis, near the beginning, it says to replenish the earth. That doesn't really mean that there was a previous, fauna at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning of replenish was different at the time of translation than what it means today.
That's right.
And that's something we have to take into consideration when we see some of these words, that we must take into consideration and possibly look up in a good dictionary, give us the old meanings that we need.
Just,
in order to understand. Otherwise, you know, we could misunderstand something entirely.
I was just reading in Dr. Scott Johnson's paper today, sent out to our email people. He goes into that replenish, and very few times does it mean anything to do with it. It just fulfills, start out and do good. Yeah. And he was writing an article, several articles, about this false view of a pre-existing Adam creation, pre-existing Adam. So that was people before Adam was made.
Pre-existing people that lived pre-Adamic people,
which is false, and he was telling about that too. Yes, Bill?
If there were people before Adam, God would have told us in the Bible. Sure.
And what does 1 Corinthians 15 say about Adam?
First man.
The first man, Adam, the last man, Christ. See, the first, what's first mean? And so many other things, but... So anyhow, that's right, replenish. So this idea of God forbid may never be, but what does God say regarding the fall of these people, these Israelites?
The Gentiles profited.
The Gentiles would be prospered and have salvation. And salvation has come to the Gentiles. Yes, Dan?
Well, because of their fall, the Gentiles now were able to be saved.
Yes. It's interesting. Who did Paul preach to first in the book of Acts?
The Jews.
The Jews. That's right. The Jews. Why did he go to the Gentiles then?
Because the Jews rejected.
The Jews rejected. That's right. That's why he went to the Gentiles. They go to the Gentiles. Who did God call principally in the end of the thing for the Jews, and which they call particularly for the Gentiles? Danny?
Peter was the spokesman for the Jews.
He was ambassador of the Jews, yes.
Paul to the Gentiles.
Paul to the Gentiles. But Paul did start with the Jews, and he said, nothing doing, so, all right, I'm going to the Gentiles. Through their fall. What does their fall mean? Their fall, in this case. In verse 11. This verse, what does the fall mean?
They go down to the ground.
In this case, Tammy?
It's a spiritual slumber.
All right, spiritual slumber.
We talked about in verse 8.
Uh-huh.
God gave them a spirit of slumber.
In other words, they fell out of the will of God. And that says a fall out of, with unbelief, that was considered a fall, down against the will of God. And through their fall, what would happen?
Salvation has come to the Gentiles.
I'm glad, I'm sad that they fell, but I'm glad because Gentiles now, like the rest of us here, can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, know about him, and it's important. And questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. It was a call or comment on any of these things. Yes, Bill?
Didn't the Lord tell Abraham that he would bless not only the Jews, but actually all the nations on the earth, all of the people.
Right.
On
and I see so all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's right.
Right.
So that day, yeah. Barbara?
Jeremiah 33:23. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with night and day, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them."
Yes, that's interesting. So the last phrase in this verse 11, what does that mean? Yes, Tammy.
It's he's saying that the salvation that comes to the Gentiles is going to provoke the Jews to jealousy.
So Jews will be jealous because now God's dealing with the Gentiles and blessing them. What's the matter with us? See, they're jealous about that. That's right. Very interesting. And did we read 12?
Yes.
Yes. Now, what is this fall here in verse 12? Is that fall? Who's the them here referred to here? Fall of them. Who's the them?
Israel.
Israel. All right. And what's the fall here? What's that mean?
What did you say?
What does the fall mean in verse 12?
It's the same fall, but spiritual darkness.
Spiritual darkness. Your stomach block in earlier verses, you remember, in the fall, where they will slip and stumble and fall. But this is, as you say, at times, spiritual darkness and not going along with the will of God and rejecting the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost. Follow them, be what?
The riches of the world.
Other people have great riches because they will come unto the Lord and accept Him and be saved. And what's the thing that's going to be reserved to Israel in this verse?
It again.
What is going to be the Israelites' condition because they have rejected? Yes, Tammy?
They'll be diminished.
And diminishing meaning what?
They
get smaller and weaker and not strong. The riches of the Gentiles. Now, what's this last phrase mean?
I don't know where you are. When what Barbara read and about the Jews being restored happens, then there will be even more riches for those that are Gentile believers and Jews.
That's right. There's going to be a fullness one day when the Israelites come back to the Lord. Pastor Dan?
We have two emails from Ryan, one from last week and one from this week.
Ryan, that's the one that visited a couple times up here. Okay, I'm ready.
Last week's email was, if you read the last 10 verses of Romans 9 all the way up to where you are now, it says, why trouble has been brought upon the house of Israel. They went about their own righteousness of the law and not of the faith. Yes, Israel was God's chosen people, but they won't give the belief of Christ being God. They deny all God has brought salvation to all of those that believe in Jesus. A lot of those false teachers, like John Hagee, wanted to say that Jesus, rather the Jews, have a different salvation or way to God from the Gentiles. Not so, untrue and false. They also never use the word Christ or Jesus. They deny and avoid using the name of Jesus. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's from Ryan. That was the last week's email.
Let's wave to Ryan last for last week. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that. Come again and see us. We miss you.
And this week's email. He says, please pray. I'm very concerned about independent Baptist churches. We are seeking a lot more independent Baptists to our
scene.
A lot. Want to read this?
Sure, I'll read it.
Thank you.
Please pray. I'm very concerned about independent Baptist churches. We are seeing a lot more independent Baptists who aren't King James only, but their music is way more conservative than those who are King James only. Also, churches who are King James only allowing missionaries who aren't King James only to preach in their churches, even take them on for support. Pastoral candidates, missionaries, evangelists, and visiting speakers should be certified as to their stand on the King James Bible, the Greek text, and Masoretic text. This is not the day to assume anything without direct question and answer. Many of our traveling evangelists are not very careful about where they accept meetings. Many are crossing back and forth over the line drawn in the sand. The same is true of missionaries on deputation. Many prefer not to ask questions when seeking meetings. Missionaries should also be questioned directly before they are allowed to gain entrance to your church. Some are under mission boards that do not stand on the received text in the King James Bible. And as far as those who are King James only, also are going into churches who aren't King James only despite being independent Baptist. Very troubling and concerning.
Let's wave Ryan again, second time. Thank you, Ryan. And he certainly is correct. These independent Baptist churches and other churches just changed just almost overnight. We used to go to a church here in Cherry Hill, a Bethel Baptist Church, and now what is it called out there? What, they've changed the name from Baptist to what?
Worship Center.
Yeah, the Bethel Worship Center. See? And certain colleges have changed their name. Let's give an illustration. So what about the college, Cedarville College? She's Cedarville Baptist College. What do they say that, do you remember?
Cedarville Baptist College.
Well, it used to be that, but it's
Cedarville University. That's called
Cornerstone.
Cornerstone.
Cedarville or
Grand
Rapids?
It's different. It's just
Grand Rapids.
What's
Grand Rapids?
Cornerstone.
Cornerstone Church is in. So they've changed the whole thing, of course.
But Summit, BBC has changed now.
Yes,
Bible Summit, Baptist. It's called Summit College.
Summit College.
I think so.
Bible Summit Baptist College. Up in Clark Summit.
Is it not Summit? Summit or Summit? Which one is it?
No.
Summit College.
I mean, that's Ryan's got a very good point there. Very serious. Doesn't it call?
There's a lot of discernment.
I think it's Cedarville University. Yeah.
Cedarville University is it?
And then
Philadelphia
Bible College, Philadelphia School of the Bible, whatever in college.
Oh yes, it's not that other
Karen's, area. Karen's or something.
Karen's.
Karen's. That's right, Karen's. So we've got a serious problem. But Brian, you always come here because we stand for Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek texts and the King James Bible and all these things. Come back and visit with us. Glad to have you. All right, so that's good. We appreciate these comments. What verse are we on now? Verse 12. 12? All right. The fall, the diminishing, riches to the Gentiles, much rather fullness. One day Israel will come back to the Lord, and they will be, as Tammy said, be Jews and Gentiles together, saved and born again. Back to the book of Acts, one of the things that the apostle said, the Lord has spared and given the Jews and also the Gentiles by the same gospel to save them, even in the book of Acts. Yes, sir.
On the fullness, how much more their fullness?
Uh-huh.
The days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given unto them, saith the Lord thy God.
Uh-huh. Isaiah, is it 49 or 60?
Amos 9.
Amos. Okay, good. So, did we read 13 yet?
No, not yet.
Let's read 13, 14, and 15 together. For I speak to you, Gentiles, as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means it provokes your congregation, them which are in my flesh, and may my day is come. For if the passing away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? All right, verse, is it 13 or 14? Where did we start?
13,
all right. He speaks to the Gentiles. What does he say about himself in verse 13?
He's the apostle.
The apostle of the Gentiles and ministering to them. What did the Lord Jesus Christ tell Paul when he saved him on the road to Damascus? What did he tell him? What type of a ministry did he give him in Acts chapter 9?
Lord, what would you have me to do?
Yes, and then I will send you to number of people, number of groups. Someone get that and read that for us. Acts chapter 9. But among those groups is Gentiles. So read off what it says. Romans chapter 9. The call of Paul. Anybody?
I think maybe it's what he told Ananias.
Well, maybe. Well, I thought it said Paul too.
He told the Lord said unto him, referring to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. And the children of Israel. Is that the one you're looking
at? That's the one looking at. Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. They had a threefold ministry, didn't they? And then he also says, I will show you also how many things you must suffer for my name. Right? Is that in the same context?
Yeah, great things. That's the next verse.
Great things, yes. So Paul said he's an apostle of the Gentiles. He accepted that, even though he's a Jew, a Pharisee before he was saved. He accepted that the Lord told him to do go. Go to Israel, yes, but also the Gentiles and kings, those in authority. What does it mean I magnify my office? What does that mean?
I will magnify my office.
What does he consider his office?
Apostle.
What is it?
Apostle to the Gentiles.
Apostle to the Gentiles. What does he concern? What does he think about that apostleship for the Gentiles? What does magnify mean?
Make it larger.
Make it larger. In other words, he's glad that that's his ministry, that the Lord told him to go, and he's fine about it. He's glad about it. Then we stopped at 13, did we?
No, we went, we read 14.
Oh, we read 14 also.
And 15.
And 15, okay. So what does emulation mean?
Jealousy.
So I to provoke to jealousy, who? Who does he want to provoke?
It's from.
Yes, Bob?
I thought there was a word like, I will emulate you, or he emulates you.
Well, that's a little different.
Provoke to
that's
emulation.
Different than this, then.
To emulate.
Is that with an I perhaps, or is that still the name?
Emulate. I just can't think of the word right offhand, but there is one that's similar to this.
Yeah.
But emulation
probably is a different word.
Provocation. And who is the them here?
Israel.
The Israelites. My flesh, because he was a Jew himself by birth. What was the hope in the last part of this verse?
God would save
some of them, again, the Israelites. Mm-hmm. This is the future for Israel. Romans 9, the past, 10, the future, the present, and then 11, the future. And God, he hoped, Paul hoped that the Lord Jesus would one day be the savior of many of his people, Israel. Then in verse 15, what is this predicted of the Jews in the past? What was true of them in the past, even in the present?
They were cast away.
Cast away. And if the casting away brings what?
Reconciled.
And what does reconcile mean? What is it?
Make right.
Well, could be make right, that's right. Now, if two people if two people are fighting and against each other, what would it mean to reconcile the both of them?
Peace,
bring peace, bring them together, and reconciliation. And it says in the book of one of the chapters of books, God has committed the ministry of reconciliation. So bringing together the Jews and Gentiles and reconciling us with the Lord. See, now a lot of people think that the Lord has to be reconciled to us. Is that true or false?
No.
What is true?
We
must be reconciled to God. He doesn't need anybody. He's perfect. We're the ones that are scoundrels. Pardon me?
Romans 5:1.
Yes.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. That's good.
No more war.
No more war. That's right. So, casting away, reconciling the world, what's the good part about casting away? And what else is true of faith? Are cast away and so past the last part of verse 15.
It's like a dog.
It's the reconciling of the world.
The receiving of them, but what?
From life from the dead.
Life from the dead. So Paul doesn't want his people to be unreconciled and cast away, but
right.
Because of that casting away, the Gentiles are welcome and open and come to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if it's casting reconciled of the world, going to be the life of that. So if Israel one day does do come to the Lord, like in the tribulation period, we have 144,000, 12,000 are one of the Jewish tribes, evangelists, that will come today. 16 we read too, did we?
No.
We have to order. Let's read 16, 17, and 18 together. For if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou art being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and thickness of the root and fatness of the olive tree, both stand against the branches. But if thou boast, bearest not the root, but the root thee. All right, verse 17. Some of the branches.
16.
16, I'm sorry. First fruit. What is the first fruit?
The first harvest. Harvest.
Like the harvest, first fruit to come. Be holy. What is true? What's the lump here? What is the lump?
The complete harvest, I suppose.
All right, maybe the complete harvest, the growth and so on. And here's the contrast between the root and the branches. I'm speaking about Israel and the church, I'm sure the Gentiles. Who would be the root?
Israel.
Probably Israel, the branches?
Church.
The Gentiles, those are the Gentiles. Then in verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, some of the branches broken off. In other words, the Gentiles broken off. And
the Jews, aren't they?
Maybe the Jews. The branches up in the first fruit roots be holy, so are the branches. Who would be the branches?
The Gentiles.
Well, once that are broken up, seem like they're the Jews. The branches, if some are broken off, that seems like theirs are the Jews. Mm-hmm. The broken off branches.
Yeah, but in verse 16, who are the branches? Who is the root?
It could be the Lord Jesus.
The Israelites.
Could be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Okay. The root. So are the branches.
The first fruit could be Christ, too. The
first fruit could be holy.
Could be
that. But we'll see in the later verses. There's a grafting in of the branches, and the root seems to be Israel. But
Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him.
Mm-hmm.
So this would indicate that Christ is the root out of the dry ground.
Yeah, that would be in that context, that's for sure. So if some of the branches be broken off, certainly the ones that are not proper and holy into the root, branches broke up, thou being a wild olive, who's the thou referred to here?
The Gentiles.
Probably the Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, and what was true of the...
They were grafted.
Graft, what does graft mean?
Yes,
Barbara?
It's when you take one branch from one tree and slice both ends so that they fit together, and then you tape them together so that they heal, so that they become one branch.
Yes, so that's the graft and the branch to the branch, and among them, with them partakest of what?
The root.
Now there again,
Christ.
Probably the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fatness of the olive tree. In other words, the Gentiles be grafted in among to the Jews and partaking of the olive tree and the roots and the fruits of the olive tree. Yes, mostly. Barbara?
Y'all make me forget my thought.
Pardon.
Israel, one of the symbols of Israel in the Old Testament is the olive tree.
Yes.
An olive tree never dies.
Is that right?
You can't be grafted into something that dies.
Seriously? So that's an interesting comment. So, and then verse, we read 20, didn't we?
We're 18,
aren't
we?
18, way back there, okay. Goes not against the branches. He's talking there to the
ones that are
could be, or it could be, it seems like the Gentile veil, but if thou boast, what is true? What is true? Yes, Anthony.
This has nothing to do with it, but isn't there a saying in like the world or something? They'll say, I'm going to give someone an olive branch to cause like a reconciliation or something.
Yeah. Put out an olive branch.
Yeah. So that's just interesting.
That's true. That's another branch.
We're back to the olive branch.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Barbara?
In Jeremiah 12:11, the Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. In the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken.
Mm-hmm. Another illustration, isn't that? Mm. The Old Testament. So it says, if thou boast, what does he remind the audience of here in Romans in verse 18? If thou boast.
So there's not the root.
There's not the root. The root thing. So there's the root, if it's the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the most important thing in the olive tree situation. The really trunk and the root of the thing, that's the most important branch of it. They just are sort of secondary, and not the root is the one that's got all the power. The branch is just something other, lesser than the root itself. And then
I asked a question. It says, boast not against the branches.
Mm-hmm.
So,
against Israel.
But in verse...
But aren't the branches Gentiles?
It seems to be another verse. Yeah, in this case, it is. But
then I'd be referencing the branches that were broken off. Because mm-hmm. you would be boasting that you have been grafted in, and those have broken off.
Mm-hmm.
So, it seems like that have been broken off.
Right, because it goes on to say that if you're boasting and you've been grafted in, if God can take the original one's off, you better be careful because he can take you off.
Yes. You see, in verse 19, there's some more branches, but
against the branches.
Thou shalt say then the branches were broken up. Again, what branches they may be? Some of the Israelites' branches, I guess. Yes. That I might be grafted. Who would the I refer to there? The Gentiles might be grafted in. See, it's the Gentiles got to be grafted into the olive tree. Olive tree is supposed to be Jews, and they sort of rejected the Lord, and the Gentiles are coming in to be blessed and used. Mm-hmm. And then, did we read 20?
No, I don't think we read 19, but
I'm still calling 18 here.
Let's read 19, 20, 21, then we'll close for the evening. Let's read the verses. 19, 20, 21. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. All right, let's pause right there, verse 19. Do you have other comments before we close? Yes, after that.
I'm still very intrigued by Romans 11, 18, especially that second sentence. But if thou boast there, that thou bearest not the root, the root is Christ. So in other words, you're not loving God, I guess, if you're just saying boast not.
Yeah.
So I guess we're supposed to live in harmony.
Well, yeah, but it goes back to God is not reconciled to us, we are reconciled to God.
Yeah.
I have a comment or question before we come. Let us close the word of prayer. We thank you, Father, that thou hast given a Bible that we can use and study and understand some things, at least, many things. We thank you for the Gentiles, we who are Gentiles, that are now a part of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that God has given. We're sorry that the Jews, so many Jews, have rejected the Savior. We're glad that Paul and the apostles and many others trusted him, but the great majority have forsaken him and wanted to have him crucified. But there is a remnant of godly Jews even today. So we pray for them, pray for us who are Gentiles who have come to Christ. We're all Christians now, those that are grafted in and those that are Jew and Gentile. We thank thee for this. Help us as we go. Help us to honor our Savior and live for him. To be any who are listening to us here in the service or on the internet who are lost, unsaved, may they come to the Savior so they may partake of his blessings to us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray.
Amen.
Thanks for coming, Lynn.